Thank you for listening to this service from Calvary of Albuquerque. It's our hope that this message will help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I'd just like to share briefly out of a small section of Scripture before we take communion and then continue in worship. This is a night of worship. And this is the night where we just, in an extended period of time, get to tell the Lord we love Him and cast our care upon Him. One of the hard things to do when you have four weekend services is to have any meaningful time of worship, because you do need to respect commitments to the next service, getting parking lots emptied so they can be filled again, getting children picked up, etc., etc. So a night like this is just a welcome breather where you can just let it all hang out before the Lord. And that's what you've been doing and will do more of. One of the metaphors that Paul uses to describe the church is the bride of Christ. Though not specifically stated as such, he does use the analogy that we are the bride of Jesus Christ, betrothed to him, is Paul's words. And it is one of my favorite analogies of God's people to the Lord Jesus Christ because it is so intimate. And it's the kind of analogy that closes the gap between deity and humanity. I've discovered there's a lot of people that picture God as distant, far off, untouchable, aloof. And though he does dwell in unapproachable light and is absolutely holy, Paul decided that he would describe the relationship of God with his people as a bride to his bridegroom. Now, here's just a verse I'll share with you and I'll expand just for a moment. Husbands, love your wives. This is Ephesians 5. Don't have to turn to it. It's dark. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And throughout this whole chapter, he weaves this beautiful portrait of Jesus and us like bride and bridegroom. It was so different when Paul wrote those words. The Romans and the Greeks, though they were worshiping idols and they had a pantheon of deities that they worshiped, their gods were hostile, distant, aloof, unapproachable. No intimacy whatsoever. Even the Jewish nation did not enjoy the intimacy that is provided by the New Testament and particularly this analogy. The relationship you and I are to have to Christ is, well, like a marriage. And a marriage, the way God intended it to be, is to be the most intimate of all human relationships. A total blending of lives. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it always turns out to be. And to get to that point does take work, does take effort, does take energy, does take focus. But God did intend it to be fulfilling and captivating. The most intimate of all human relationships, the total blending of two lives together. And though that's how God intended it to be, and that's how the Bible portrays it to be, on a personal note, after having done hundreds and hundreds of weddings over the years, and listening to young people share their vows, sometimes older people share their vows, I'm convinced of something. When they share their vows, they don't know what they're saying. They haven't thought it through. And I don't even think it's possible to really be able to think it through. For a young couple to look with those glassy, starry eyes and say, I'll take you forever, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. They can't understand what they're saying. They're thinking only for better, for richer, in health, till death do us part, perhaps. And that's obvious by the way they treat each other after they are married. And after a year or two, they call it quits. They don't always understand what they are saying. We as humans don't always understand the commitments we are making. But the point I want to make is God does. God does. And so here we have this human analogy that is also a divine reality. And the analogy is that of a husband and a wife. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And that's a picture of Christ. He goes through and he hammers that point home. And though a groom looking at his young bride may not totally understand what he is saying in making that commitment, God does know what he is saying. And he still makes a commitment. He knows that he is marrying us, a flawed bride, a sinful people. One that will be like Hosea's wife, unfaithful, and will fail, and will fall, and will hurt him, and will require forgiveness time and time again. But when God makes this analogy and this commitment, he knows exactly what he's saying. And so, though the chapter deals with family relationships and how wives are to submit and husbands are to love and children are to obey and parents are not to exasperate and servants are to obey, all of that is dealt with in chapter 5 of Ephesians. What captures our attention tonight for the purpose of communion is that one verse. And to consider the kind of love that Jesus has for us. And that's the model. That's the model. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. There's something else I noticed as I was reading this. I just quoted verse 25. In verse 28, it's repeated again. Husbands, love your wives. Now, the commandment to wives is not repeated twice, only given once. Wives, submit to your husbands. But for husbands, Paul tells husbands twice, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. And the only thing I can think of as far as a reason why is Paul knew men. That it would only take them two verses to totally forget what he had just written. So he's gracious to us. And twice he reminds us, did I tell you, men? Love your wives. Now, if Paul would have just ended with husbands, love your wives, or if we were to just read and stop at that point, we might feel smug as men and say, well, I do love my wife. I told her I loved her 30 years ago. I'm a man of my word. I tell a person once and I mean that. They never have to question it again. But it goes on to describe the love of a husband toward his wife. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And amen? Wouldn't you agree? That's an unattainable standard. There has never been a man that has fully loved his wife the way Jesus Christ loves his church. And yet that is the goal, that is the standard, that is what we're all trying to model ourselves after. That is what we keep our eyes focused on as our model, because it always takes us higher. But let's just briefly, before we take communion, consider, what does that mean? How does Christ love the church? What kind of love is that? Well, it's the familiar word, agapao. That unconditional divine love, that very unique love, that is a love that perfectly describes the kind of love God has for people. In fact, it is best defined by looking at God's love for people. Yet we're told agapao, use agape love to love our wives as Christ loved. So how did Christ love us? What are we celebrating tonight? Well, first of all, Jesus Christ loves the church sacrificially. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Not only did God so love the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus was a part of that equation, and Jesus so loved the world that he willingly sacrificed his own life that the Father gave for the purpose of atonement. Jesus was in on it, and he willingly did it. And he said, though suffering in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. That's sacrificial love. He left heaven, stepped down to earth, bore humanity, suffered in the flesh to atone for our sins. Number two, not only sacrificially, but Jesus loves us unconditionally. Please hear me on this. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't love people who deserve his love. He loves people who don't deserve his love. That's good news, I hope you know. God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Please let that sink into your heart, because some of you are still trying to convince God and show God why he should love you. And when you do really good, you feel really good, and thus perhaps you think God should really love you now, maybe a little bit more than a week ago when you weren't so obedient. And you're still, by some human modicum of effort, trying to earn his love. You will never rest until you realize his love for you is undeserved, totally unconditional. It's based upon his character, has nothing to do with your character. It's sacrificial. It's unconditional. And here's a third component of his love. It's irrevocable. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means the calling towards salvation. It's irrevocable. God will never reach a point with you where he folds his arms and says, enough's enough. I'm done loving you. I've worked on you long enough. You're out of here. It's irrevocable. His covenant is irrevocable. God is faithful. So that even tonight, even if you've blown it this week, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we take communion. We take communion in confidence. We take communion knowing that his love is so unique and it can only be defined singularly. And yet that is the bar. Husbands, love your wives. Take the initiative to be sacrificial and unconditional in your love in an irrevocable manner. So we take communion. We take communion in obedience, and we take communion to bring our lives in the light. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses, present, active, indicative, cleanses, present tense, is now cleansing, cleanses us from all sins. So the cleansing you received at salvation, God continues to cleanse. You ask him for forgiveness, he cleanses. You walk in the light, he cleanses. And so the bride of Christ, we're the bride, he's the bridegroom. The bridegroom took the initiative, stepping out of heaven, calling a bride unto himself called the church. And one day, here's the best part. You've all heard the best is yet to come. The best involves your wedding feast. A time in heaven where you will sit down with Jesus Christ for a period of time in eternity. It's the only way I can describe it in human terms. And enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. You've been invited and you've accepted. And we share just a couple elements that speak of the past, suffering on the cross and the Last Supper, but look to the future, the marriage supper that's coming up. So tonight, when you take these elements and you say, God, cleanse me of my sins, forgive me of my unrighteousness, I trust that the blood of Christ is continually cleansing me as I bring things into the light. Know that it also speaks of a great feast up ahead. The best is yet to come. Something about a wedding in ancient times. Weddings were attended by invitation. But an invitation could be refused. If an invitation to a wedding was refused, it was considered a great insult to the character of the one who sent the invitation. You're invited to a wedding if you haven't accepted that invitation. I'm inviting you tonight. I love to use this line at just about every wedding that I perform. I love to say at the end of a wedding, now, before we all leave and we're dismissed, I want you to know that you're invited to another wedding. And then I pause and I just look over the audience to see what reactions I get. And usually the reaction I get is people are puzzled. They have no clue what I'm talking about unless they're Christians. They kind of look at me like, how dare he at my son or daughter's wedding or my friend's wedding invite people to yet another wedding? So I just wait a while and I pause and I just love to look around and get their response. And I laugh inside because I know what I'm going to say. They don't. And then I finish what I'm inviting them to. This is a wedding that will not take place on earth in any church or in any cathedral. There's no place on earth that can accommodate it. It will take place in heaven. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're all invited to it. The price has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. That's the invitation, but you have to receive it. And I encourage you to receive it before the end of this wedding. I encourage you to receive it before we take communion tonight. If you're not a Christian, we do welcome you tonight. We have a large audience here in our church facility. We have people in the cafe. We have people out in the amphitheater that are sitting, and they're going to be served communion. But not knowing the hearts of all people here tonight, I do need to warn you, if you're not a Christian, do not take the bread and do not take the cup. Because you are simply broadcasting your own damnation by partaking of the elements that speak of the sacrifice that you don't believe in. So it's a testimony against you. It doesn't work for you. It actually works against you. And so you shouldn't take that. You shouldn't do that. You should just pass it by. Now, if you're a Christian and you feel like, well, I've blown it this week and I feel a bit unworthy, take it. Take it. You're not worthy, again, by what you've done. You're worthy by what he's done. You take it, and you take it in confidence. You ask him to forgive you, but you take it. If you're not a Christian, let it go by. But I can't leave it there. If you're not a Christian, why not? Why haven't you received Jesus Christ? Now, some of you might say, well, maybe I'm not chosen. Or still others of you might say, maybe they're not chosen. That's true, maybe not. But if tonight you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith, you'll find out that you were chosen. Your choice will cooperate with his choice. And you'll find that he has chosen you in Christ before the foundation of the world. So what are you waiting for? If you don't know Jesus Christ, I ask you, are you willing to give him your life? Are you willing to turn from your sin and commit your life to him and your future to him? If you're willing to do that, now's the time. Let's bow our heads. The communion board will come. Our Heavenly Father, as we're about to partake of these elements that speak of the ultimate love, a love of not just a deity, but the love of the supreme and only God who became man and delights to have a relationship with human beings. To condescend to the point where you as God would call people who respond and walk with you your bride. A relationship of intimacy, of blending, of togetherness, of sweetness. You have given the invitation. If not many times before, certainly tonight, right now in this place with these words. I pray for anyone who has not yet given their lives to Christ or they're not sure if they have or not. I pray that they would reach out only to discover you've been reaching out all along to them. as our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, as you're thinking about your life, whether you're in the cafe right now or you're outside in the amphitheater or you're in this auditorium, family room, balcony, if you have a desire to know Jesus personally, to give him your life, to repent of the past and be right with God and experience newness of life and forgiveness, as our heads are bowed, as we're praying, I want you to slip your hand up and just keep it up for just a moment. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to keep your hand up. And by keeping your hand up, you're saying, pray for me, Skip. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to say that prayer. Just keep it up in the air. I saw a couple hands right up here in the front and toward the back. Keep them up high so I can see you. Anybody else? Raise those hands up. Over in the family room, I see you. And on the side here and toward the back. Right where you're at, would you just say from your heart to God right now, say this, Lord, I surrender. I give you my life. I don't want to go my own way any longer. I surrender to your will. I want your will. I turn from my sin and I turn to you right now. I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. I take you as my Savior. And I honor you as my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, enabling me day by day to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that sincerely from your heart, you take these elements tonight. You take them now. You're a member of God's family. We're going to pass the elements out. We're going to pass these elements out. We're going to ask you to hold on to them till we all take them together. And then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together and close off with a time of worship and prayer. Thank you, Father, for the broken body and the shed blood of your Son, Jesus. That historic fact, that single act that we always look back to, is why you can look at us, flawed as we are and broken, and see us as a pure white bride on her wedding day. Lord, I think of the words of David, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his goodness? I will take the cup of salvation and be thankful." And so we take this cup and this bread that signify that act, knowing also, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this service from Calvary of Albuquerque. If you would like more information about what you've heard in this message or about Calvary of Albuquerque, please visit our website at www.calvaryabq.org. If you have made a decision to follow Christ or would like someone to pray for you, please leave a message with our prayer watch line at 505-344-3658. Thank you, and God bless.